You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
What's up, Vengas?
Hello, Vengas!
How's everybody doing?
How are you doing? Are you doing good? I'm doing good, Matt, because I don't know if you saw, but the greatest television show of all time had another season that came out.
Succession?
Yes! Episode one very much was Succession, and we will be obviously discussing that. No, bitch, I'm talking about Drive to motherfucking Survive. Can I just say that, like, it just continues to be a perfect show.
Anybody, I wrote this down multiple times in my notes.
Yeah.
Anybody who hates this show can go eat my ass. Can eat my literal ass. Just doesn't like life. Doesn't like fun. Just hates themselves. Hates the world.
Right.
Hates everything good. The show is objectively just perfect.
It's so fucking good. And it's like, here's the thing. Like, when we first watched it, it was like, we were new fans. It was all new. And then there was the vibe of, like, the experience Formula One fans were like, this show is bullshit. They just make stuff up and it's, like, not real at all. And it's like, now we've been doing this for a few years.
No, this last season sucked and this was better than the season.
The season sucked. But guess what? The behind the scenes stuff that we saw about the other stuff that was happening around the sport was fascinating.
Yeah.
And accurate to what was actually fucking happening.
Yeah.
The show is literally perfect.
No, but Brian, sometimes they insert commentary that wasn't actually there.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is invalidated.
Yeah, and sometimes they show like an overtake that wasn't even the overtake that they were referring to, or they show a pit stop that wasn't even the right pit stop. So like the whole thing is bullshit. You're bullshit. If you think
go do something that's better than that.
Yeah, please
improve that.
Of the thousands of hours of footage that they filmed, why don't you go make an edit that's better and more compelling than the edits that the fucking people at Box Films shout out and Netflix made. Shut the fuck up.
No, I don't mean go make a better documentary about Formula One. I'm like, you go contribute something to society that's better than this. Besides just fucking sitting on your asses.
Yeah.
Just being, well, that's not exactly how it went. They're taking some creative licenses. It's a good television show. I wouldn't call it a documentary. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck. It's a reality show. I'd call it a reality show. It's not an actual reflection of the sport that I know. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, dude.
Anyway.
Yeah. No, this season was so good. And it goes to what we've said about Drive to Survive, which is that, like, the worse the Formula One season, the better the Drive to Survive season.
Max who?
Max who? Max who? But you know what? That's true. Because it's like, listen, Max had the dominant year, but that wasn't, like, the interesting part of the season.
Yeah, the 2021 Drive to Survive was horrible.
Yeah, it was trash.
It was trash.
It was trash.
Because the on-the-track stuff was too good.
Yeah. But no, I mean, there's so much. There's
But let's maybe we start with the first episode.
We're gonna do the first few episodes on this episode. The rest is gonna be behind the paywall, bitch. It's gonna be on the Patreon. So subscribe now. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/TRFpod, to get the rest of the episodes around this beautiful season.
And buy tickets to our show if you're in New York.
Yeah, don't be crazy. Buy tickets to our literal live program in New York City.
You're in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, anywhere in the anywhere in the tri-state area. Anywhere in the Northeast.
Yeah, if you're in Maine, come on. Come down. DC, come up. Come to the Red Flags show at Chelsea Music Hall, 7 p.m. March 2nd. Be there or be...
Tickets are in the bio!
Be there or be Nick DeVries,
Links are in the bio!
Okay, so let's get into...
Episode 1.
Episode 1.
Money Talks.
Money Talks.
Well, you know, first they start out, right, with just a quick little montage of everybody like living their life.
Yeah, it's like off season. What are these guys doing in the off season? And you know who they started with?
Lando.
Let's not forget who they started with season 1, episode 1. They were like,
right. No, and I wrote this down. Yeah. I said, Lando, living his tax-free life in Monaco, and then I wrote, trying to be cute like Daniel. Early on, a couple of guys were trying to step into that Danny Rick voice.
Yes, 100%. I said, opening on Lando, I said, a choice? they see the star power of the boy.
You know what Lando's problem is, though? And I know I go too hard on Lando.
Yeah.
But we see later, he's just too moody to be Daniel Ricciardo. he's a good replacement for Daniel when the chips are up.
Yes.
But when they're down.
Yeah.
When the chips are down with Daniel, he's so composed and professional.
When the chips
are down with Lando, he's just a fucking puddle. And you don't want to be anywhere near that guy. He's just like,
He's like, yeah, well, we should be fighting Ferrari.
Daniel's just like, understood. I'm sorry.
Yeah. He's like, Lando's like, I mean, we are McLaren, right? I mean, we should be fighting
Daniel's
Ferrari
like,
and Mercedes.
When Daniel breaks his hand later, I mean, we're leaking now, but like, this is behind the paywall. I mean, you're listening to this, you basically owe us $5.
Yes.
You know, he's very like, you know, it's not ideal, but I'm going to push. You know, he's
he maintains
he's at the low, at his lowest of the low. He's pretty fucking.
Yeah.
Level.
He keeps like he has a millennial delusion, whereas like Lando has like a Gen Z kind of nihilism at times.
That's why Lando can't really replace Daniel, because he has a full range of emotions.
Yeah. So they're going through the intro. They're showing what everyone's doing. I wrote down a couple of things with this.
Lance in Canada.
Looking,
so happy to be doing anything other than driving the car.
Looking happier than he's ever looked. You know, snowboarding in the backwoods, just looking a million-dollar smile.
Yeah.
I wrote down, of course, that's how Esteban Ocon jumps into the water. Because
like
I don't know
if... weird flip.
Just a weird kind of bent flip, you know? Not just like diving in, you know, like nice and smooth, just kind of like a weird front flip.
And people say, you know, he's awkward because he's so tall. I'm like, he's my height. He's not that tall. He just looks that tall. Chris Paul is his height, right? There are people that are his height.
Yeah.
That are very graceful with their movement.
For sure. I gotta say though, and this will be, we will discuss this later when we get to the Alpine episodes, but Esteban Ocon is looking fucking hot.
I saw this on a TikTok. I'm gonna say it.
Yeah.
I don't know whose account it was. I'm sorry. I didn't come up. He's slowly coming into his DILF era.
He looks so good. He's like, I don't know what it is. Like, he had a nice little tan going on this season. And he also is, like, kind of filling out a little bit. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit less strong. It's a little bit more like
He's starting to look more like his dad.
Yeah, who's hot as fuck.
And
his
mom.
Yeah.
Who's hot as fuck.
His parents, who are hot as fuck. No, he was, like, there was, like, there's a scene of, like, him on the yacht. And they're, like, talking about, like, the thing with Pierre. We will get into this fully behind the paywall. So subscribe to patreon.com/TRFpod. But, he was just look. I was like, "Holy, whoa!"
Yeah, he's growing into. He's filling out. He's growing into himself.
I was feeling a lot of things towards Mr. Esteban Ocon.
Pierre in Italy.
Yeah. What if he said something about, like,
he said Pierre Clooney. He's so middle school energy. It's crazy. He's so us in middle school.
He is truly a grown up middle schooler. He is. It's Arrested Development. He is still a child.
He's like 0010. Am I right?
He's like, yeah.
Bond. James Bond. Bond, Pierre Bond.
Yeah, literally. He's truly a puppy dog.
He's like us in middle school if we were given everything we wanted.
Totally.
If we were like given a supermodel girlfriend, a bunch of money. Yeah. You know, yeah. Just
adoring fans. You know, like invited to like cool film festivals. Yeah. You get to like rub elbows, you know, bump elbows with celebrities. Yeah. Like the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
I'd be like, yeah, this guy's my enemy. Yeah. This is a middle school move.
Yeah, I don't like him.
Yeah,
I've gave him lots of opportunities to like me, but he doesn't. No, Pierre said something about like, I'm just gonna be hammered. He's like, it's the off season. Like, I'm gonna be drunk as fuck. Yeah. Also, a very kind of like young thing to say, to be like excited about like getting drunk.
He's 28, by the way.
Yeah, it's just like the years where like that's acceptable are like slowly running out.
I remember I got sober at 20, but I still lived in the same house with my friends. We were getting wasted all the time.
And right,
it would just
right.
Be normal to me just to watch wasted people.
Yeah.
And then I remember it hit like 26 or 27, and I saw one of my friends just absolutely just falling over drunk, and I went, it just hit me. I was like, oh, it's not cute anymore.
100%.
I think it's like past 25. Once you get a couple years after college.
Yes.
And then once it's over 25 and you're just falling down drunk, I'm like, this is not. Even though I don't drink anymore, I don't judge people that
drink.
But I was like, oh, I'm judging you now.
Right. No.
I'm judging you now.
Seeing like a 30-year-old be like drunk to the point of like not being able to take care of themselves is like one of the most unappealing things that you can ever see.
Yes.
It's just so like, it's just dark and bad and gross.
Yeah.
But anyway, Pierre, you know, we didn't see him be drunk on this thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was excited. He was trying to drink in the off season. You know, they got this fucking stress. Yeah. But okay. We're seeing little bits and pieces of what they're all doing in the offseason. These fabulous, beautiful lives that
Verstappen
these guys live.
Playing paddle with Lando, Albon, and George. Verstappen saying he hates emails.
Yeah, yes. He was like, if I get an email between December and in December or January, I get so mad. Mood much?
Then I wrote, seeing Gunther in what is now the rest of his life, saying how the offseason is boring. He's like fishing.
Yeah, fishing.
Sad as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Brown playing golf. I gotta ask you, how's the swing?
He's got like a classic older guy with a bit of a gut swing, which means that there's like power, but it's like
he doesn't have the flexibility.
It's just like you don't necessarily have like the perfect mobility to like slot in, so you gotta kind of like whip it. But you can still fucking crack the ball like that.
Does John Daly not have that mobility?
John Daly.
How does he slot in if he's got
John
a
Daly
gut?
Has this like crazy. I mean, he does like the super over backswing.
Yeah.
He has like a bunch of like amazing spinal flexion, if I may. Shout out to Mike Isratel. But, you know, John Daly, like, he doesn't have like a classic, you know, Rory McIlroy like beautiful swing. He's got like an ugly swing, but he hits the ball a mile. Actually, what's actually interesting is in the opening scene where. I think it's in the opening scene, if not the McLaren episode. It's like Lando is in the cart with Zach and they're playing with like these two other guys.
Mm-hmm.
Zach is in the wrong fairway. So it's like the holes are next to each other.
You and
sometimes
tell that
if you hook it left,
yeah,
you can still be like in another. You're just in the other hole's fairway because you just like bombed it, but you bombed it the wrong direction. So like in the shot that they have of them playing golf, it's because Zach Brown hit it into the wrong fairway, and I'm like, damn. Yeah, but.
But Zach gave them the perfect edit because he goes, yeah, I love the offseason. I don't have to see any dickheads.
Right.
And then it just cuts to Antibes. Is that Antibes, France? What's it called?
Uh-huh. Wait.
That's where the stroll thing was happening.
Oh, sure.
It's just Antibes, France.
Yeah. Yes. And then
it's...
Yeah, it's the. This was so amazing. This stroll party. This Aston Martin stroll party.
And of course, I had subtitle. I had like. you know, the closed captions on. I could read everything, and they were like, he's coming. He's coming. Stroll, he's almost here.
Yeah,
he's almost-
Mr. Stroll will arrive in 10.
Yeah.
Mr. Stroll will be here in T-minus 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And there's all the, like, the underlings, like, yelling at each other about, like, things not being right.
Yes.
like, the, you know, there's, like, the, of the, in the hierarchy, there's, like, you know, the people, like, setting up the thing, then their boss, then their boss, then their boss. Everyone's stressed as fuck.
Yes.
Because Daddy Stroll is coming to town.
Yes.
And
as you see Dominicali, who's the head of F1, you see Wolf show up, but they're not as important.
That's right.
Do they have their wristbands? We're not sure. Can they be let in? We're not sure.
Yeah, make sure that everyone has their wristbands.
But Mr. Stroll does not need a wristband.
Mr. Stroll does not need a wristband. If we had to title in this episode, Mr. Stroll does not need a wristband. I mean, it's just, this is what's so amazing about
all
this
the
world.
Models and the cars and the green lights.
Yep.
I mean, this looked like an Eyes Wide Shut Illuminati ass. Like, what? Who do I have to fuck to get to this party?
Yeah, Jenny wrote, this is a John Wick event. I mean, it was a John Wick. It's straight out of Succession.
Yeah.
I mean, you watch Succession, you're like, do these people fucking exist? And it's like, yes, they do. Yeah. They are in the Formula One, you know, ecosystem.
Yes.
That's where they live. But
she also wrote, okay, Lance in a double-breasted navy blazer hits different. Lance, I wasn't looking at his outfit. I was like, he looks fucking miserable.
Miserable. This whole thing's going on, and Lance Stroll looks like he would rather be anywhere else. More specifically, like,
the slopes.
Snowboarding.
The slopes.
Then at this absolutely sexy fucking event.
Yes.
Yeah. He also, like, he arrives on the boat, like, standing on the back of the boat, like, you know. When Lawrence arrives, it's just so fucking epic.
Yeah, and then you see he's stroking Michael Douglas's hair.
Yes,
I love that.
I
love
crazy.
That. I wrote stroking Michael Douglas's hair, pussy eater in chief.
That's right, dude. Who gets throat cancer from doing the work?
Yeah,
only Michael Douglas, dude.
Yeah, getting it for a worthy cause.
Yes. So, it's just epic party. The celebrities are there. It's so fucking. And I just got to say, like, this is what hooked us about this world.
Yeah.
It's just like, this is so fucking fascinating.
Yeah. They make all other sports look broke as shit.
Yeah. It's just so. It just hits so different.
Yeah, because they all the people in it got wealthy doing other shit. This is just the side project.
Right.
It's not even the most lucrative thing. You know what I didn't know?
Yeah.
Is that he just straight up owns, he's the CEO of Aston Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Like the car brand.
Yes.
Not just the racing label. Yes.
Yeah.
Not just like how Total Wolf owns 30%
own Mercedes-Benz,
the car company.
Yes.
He owns Aston Martin, the car company.
Yeah.
The guy whose father was in the schmata business.
Yes.
Is now fucking like owns Aston Martin.
Yeah.
Straight up. It's crazy how rich he is.
Yeah.
He's so rich.
It's crazy.
My God.
Yeah.
Guys, I mean, this is all coming out of order, but we're about to fucking meet his son-in-law.
Yes, we are. We are interviewing his son-in-law later today.
Yeah.
The episode will be coming out in March, but fucking A, dude. I mean, it's
wild.
We're going to be asking him a bunch of questions about, like, what it is like to be Lawrence Stroll's son-in-law. What is that experience like? Because I am definitely fucking curious.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're at this party. Alonso's there looking fucking sexy as hell.
Yeah.
Lance is there looking like he doesn't want to be there.
Yeah.
You know, Lawrence is like, I'm going to create one of the best Formula One teams in the world. You know.
Just Dr. Evil vibes, Jenny.
100%.
You know, you see Lance, who's like that picture of young Lance. He's like, it's crazy, you know. You know, I looked up to Alonso, and now I'm driving with him.
Yeah.
I think what's crazy is at the car launch, what I noticed was that, like, the intensity in which Alonso was staring at that car was like, are you wasting my fucking time?
Right.
Like, am I pissing another year?
Right.
The way he was fucking just laser locked.
Yeah.
So I couldn't get over. I was like, he is not He's not blinked once while looking at that fucking car.
Mm-hmm.
He's examining every curve, every little gully and nook and cranny of that fucking car.
Right.
It was very interesting that they picked that up.
Well, it was a risk. I mean, when he went there, it was like, what is this about to be?
He was at Alpine, and they only offered him like a 1-1.
Right.
So, and Lawrence was like, come 3 years? Yeah, how many years you want? And he was, so was it? Well, then it's...
But it was a risk in terms of, like, an unknown.
Yes.
It was a risk, in terms of a contract, but in terms of security, for sure, but, like...
Now it's a brilliant move. Alpine is... So, I mean, we'll get into Alpine later. They literally did two episodes on what a shit show Alpine was.
And also, it's looking like this year they're going to be...
To be horrible.
Horrible.
Yes.
Yeah.
That
big-ass front nose.
And then just... This is my first moment of, like... Anybody who talks shit about this show can go fucking, you know, jump in the LA River, which has no water in it most of the time. Lance was like, I'm going to go biking. It's going to be fun. Yeah, I'm not going to mountain bike. I'm just going to do the road. And I'm like, holy shit.
Like,
they got him pre-injury just being like, you know, I'm just going to go biking with some friends. I'm like, this is, they got it.
Yes.
They got it in the can.
Yes.
It's like getting footage of Kennedy being like, "Yeah, I'm just gonna go pop down to Dallas real quick.
just give just a do few a little speeches, parade, you know.
Just it'll be fun.
And the motorcade, you know,
pump some hands, kiss some babies.
No,
I'm gonna go convertible. I'm gonna go convertible with it.
I know they're saying that maybe I should just be in the car and roll down the windows. Yeah. No, I think I'm going convertible. Yeah. I want to be among the people.
Yeah, exactly. Dallas, my people. You know, that's literally what it is.
They got it. You know that the producers were like, yes.
When he broke his hand later.
Well, they
broke his wrist.
Yeah, it's like they broke it. They're like, do we have him? Holy, hold on. Do we have him saying fuck?
No, they probably didn't even think about including that before.
Of course.
Yeah, and then they
that was just extra footage.
Yeah.
That was just would have lived on the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
We're like, who cares?
Yeah.
We have him on mic saying he's going to go biking. Who cares?
Yeah.
And then he breaks his fucking wrist.
And they're like, these fucking drivers with their bikes.
Well, the drivers and their bikes is crazy.
Yes.
With their biking hobbies. I mean, Alonso, Toto, Stroll.
That would be like me as a podcaster just being like, I like to do Primal Scream every couple of days and just shooting my voice, maybe risking my voice.
Right, yeah.
It's like, isn't like...
I like to do sword swallowing on the weekends. I'm getting into sword swallowing.
Yeah,
that'll be good.
It's fucking crazy. It's like, you know, it's like, well, I can stay in shape. And I'm like, there are also Pelotons.
Yeah. Anyway, so... Yeah, we know what happens. Like
stimulus to fatigue ratio, as Dr. Mike Israel would say. It's just, how about injury risk, too,
right.
You know?
Yeah,
stimulus
to
fatigue ratio. How about incline treadmill? Stimulus to fatigue ratio. Think about it. And then Lance hurts himself, and then Lawrence, I got to ask, as an acting person, looked like he got vulnerable. He's like, I got to remember first that I'm dead.
Yes.
I'm dead. And then he like lowered his chin and got all like I'm human.
Yes.
There's a little rubbery soul in here.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, was he really sad there or was he trying to like what was going on there?
I don't know. I mean, it's just
he's Citizen Kane. He's so hard to know.
Well, you're going to have to do a lot of work. Because everything we've seen before that is like, I am mogul, I am business.
Right, because he maybe was like, I need to maybe walk this back. Because he's like, I will stop at nothing to push this thing. And then now his son's hurt and he goes, but I'm also a dad.
I have to remember, I'm dad. I said, I wrote, Lawrence, I'm dad, go off, king.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I think
the sentiment is real.
Yes, of
but
course.
To just deliver it on camera, like to you know, get the makeup, you know, drive to the place. I'm just saying in that moment, was that real? I don't doubt that he loves his son more than anything in the world.
Of course.
Yeah. I don't doubt that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that that's really hard to just conjure up.
Right.
You know, on the day.
Right.
I'm sure when he got the call, he was worried.
Yeah, of course.
But to recreate it in that Netflix environment, to recreate it.
Do you think a part of him when he got the call was like, fucking biking, goddammit. You with your biking. fucking the biking.
I remember, dude. I remember I remember this so clearly.
Mm-hmm.
I got shit-faced drunk.
Yeah.
When I tore my knee up, jumping over the Central Park.
Yes.
I was with you.
Yes, you were.
I was with you.
Yes.
I tore my knee up.
Yeah.
And I was going to go on a trip with my parents.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't tell them.
Right. How I hurt my knee
leaping over the Central Park wall.
Right. Yes.
So I told them I heard it playing basketball with my friends.
Yeah, sure.
And they got so mad at me for playing pickup with my friends. Like, we're going on a trip in a week.
Yeah.
And you're playing pickup with your friends. I went, whoa. I was like, I can't even imagine if I told you the truth.
Yeah, that I was in a blackout.
I was in a blackout and I leapt over the Central Park wall.
And then landed in
human feces, maybe dog, large dog, small human feces.
Three Doberman pinchers kind of all came together and landed in a nice little pile that Matt landed
in. My parents were just so mad at me. It was like, what were you doing playing pickup basketball 4 days before our trip to the Caribbean?
Right.
You've ruined our trip. Like, were you going to be sitting around most of the time?
Right. You know, like, you have to be like,
it's like he did the equivalent, but like with the Formula One team.
Yeah.
Crazy. My parents would be terrible at running a Formula One team.
Yes, that goes without saying. I didn't know that he fucked up his toe.
Yeah, they left that out.
Yeah.
Which it seems like actually arguably harder.
Yes.
It was interesting because Danica Patrick, we'll get to her in a second, but Danica Patrick was talking about all the G's that the steering wheel pulls. I know she comes from IndyCar where it's not power steering. So that's her experience.
Right. Yeah,
and I know
that
these have power steering, but it seems like that wheel will come back.
Yeah, you still have to fight the wheel.
Which
it's fucking intense.
Yes.
It's fucking intense. And so then
she was talking about, and this is something we learned from Bradley Skeens, is like how hard you have to fucking slam your foot on that.
Right.
On the brake.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if it was his left toe or his right toe, because that would make a difference.
I mean,
right?
I think probably both. It's still like...
You're probably more gentle on the throttle than you are on the brake, but that would make a difference.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to Christian buying a horse on his phone.
Sorry, don't talk to me. Sorry, I'm buying a horse right now. it's just like that's the world of this.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, if you did this show about you do, they've done the shows with the other sport. It just doesn't hit the same when like someone's like distracted from work because they're putting in a bid on a horse. You know, it doesn't quite hit the same.
You got Albon. He's like first to the shot, last on the track, and they're like, okay, they're like, I need a hero. Like, now that Danny Rick is gone.
Right.
Like, somebody. And I think it's actually Albon.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't Lando that came. And then I wrote this later.
Yeah.
We're giving a game away. But I was like, is Albon actually our dream guest?
Mm.
He might be the guy.
He's the guy.
He's the best guy to have on a podcast.
Yeah, he's a good interview.
And he can riff.
Yeah.
We're going to get to his riff later. Like, the guy can just fucking riff.
Totally.
Botas, like, talking about his mullet.
Yeah, You know, you're meeting the crew.
Danica Patrick. First I went, oh, no.
Uh-huh.
And then I went, oh, yes.
Gotta say, she killed it in this season.
She wasn't bad.
I thought that she was great. I thought that the insight was just like it hit the emotional stakes of like what was going on.
Yes.
She knew how to like frame the stuff. She knew how to like, it was a bit Buxton-y. It was a bit Buxton-y, like a little bit hyped up, but like I'd rather that.
I mean, Buxton was just,
oh yeah.
He was looking extra tan this season.
Yeah. Lando saying, I think Yuki got smaller. I gotta say, there was so much Yuki disrespect in this fucking season, the whole season, but we will get to that.
I mean,
anyway.
Lando's talking about how small Yuki is, how big Oscar is. It's
right.
Like, dude, just maybe you got some issues about your own fucking height or something.
Yeah. But then Lando crushed with this asking Lance if he can wank yet. I mean, that was killer.
I mean, that's a Danny Rick. That's a Danny Rick question.
Yeah,
someone's got to ask, can you jerk off? That's an obvious eighth grade question.
Yes.
That's the first thing you ask your friend when he hurts his hand.
Yeah.
And it's like, can you jack off? That's the most important question. These are all eighth grade insights.
Yeah. Yeah. It was perfect.
And then Lance, he was like, you know, I'm saving all my energy for the race.
Right.
Like,
they were riffing about it. They were riffing. And then, and then Carlos was like, if he's driving Formula One, he can definitely win.
They're so good. They're
I mean, that was clever. Such a fucking amazing interaction that we get to witness because the show's perfect.
Yeah.
Anyway, and it was like they didn't even realize it was like it happened so fast. They didn't really have the cameras on them. That's how like good that fucking little bit of dialogue was.
Yeah, and then the with Fred and Toto, and then Toto's like, "You've lost weight," and he goes, "No, maybe it's the red." He goes, No, I see you've lost weight." I mean, there's all these amazing Lewis. Then it cuts to Lewis. Last year was shocking.
Yeah. I don't even remember what it's like to win anymore, honestly. I'm like, babe.
I don't even know what my parents look like anymore.
Babe, you've won 103 fucking Formula One races. You don't remember what it's like to win.
I'm here to reclaim my eighth. And then he serves.
Yes.
And then he just like looks at the camera and is like, yeah, I said reclaim.
Yes, he did.
Because it was taken from me.
Yeah. But ultimately, this episode was about the Aston resurgence. It was about Lance coming back from injury. Aston, and it's like, it was crazy. The beginning of that first race was fucking incredible.
Oh, yeah. We've been half an hour, and we're like 3 minutes into
this episode. Yeah. I mean, but we all know what happened, but I think it is like, you know, to be able to see behind the scenes of that thing that, like, it was, like, the beginning of the season rocked.
Yeah.
And that's what this show can, like, remind you of, like, these moments of a season that you think back on. You're like, this was boring. Red Bull won basically every race. It was kind of a fucking, like, snoozer. No, like, there were wildly exciting moments. And that first race was one of them because of Alonso.
Yeah, and then what people forget is that in that amazing race where they had that amazing result, Lance hit Alonso. I totally forgot.
Fully ran into the back.
That hero drive from Lance was almost a disaster.
Yes.
That was almost the Alpine situation.
Yes.
And it's so like by a fucking pair was a disaster. You know, Lance just being like, I'm fucking fighting, man. I'm fighting. And then I loved Otmar in that moment where they're like with that Cockney guy who was like, how the fuck Aston done what they done?
Yeah.
And he's like, they've hired a bunch of aerodynamicists from Red Bull. And the Cockney guy was like, we need to fucking do that.
Yeah. Why don't we do that? That was glorious. Lawrence, you know, being in the throes of happiness that like his project was a success.
His number one boy.
His number one boy, Fernando Alonso, was a success. So that was this episode. Fucking amazing start. And then we go episode two.
Whenever someone says, I wrote this out.
Mm-hmm.
Someone saying Fernando is now behind is like the most terrifying thing you can hear.
Yeah.
Like anyone says Fernando is now behind or like Lewis is now behind, you're like, oh, fuck.
Right, right.
And then when Alonso fought Sainz, he went, yes, bye-bye.
Yeah. Yeah. No, epic. So fucking good. Okay, episode two, titled Fall from Grace. Now, we knew the De Vries. We were like, De Vries is going to be... This was like another fascinating part of the season. I mean, this season did have, as boring as the majority of it was, Nick De Vries getting in there and fucking shitting the bed, and Danny Rick coming in as the fucking shark looming. Danny Rick's behind. It's, you know, I mean, it was amazing. Oh, Vankas, you know that this episode is brought to you by BetMGM. Now, here's the thing, Vankas. We've talked to BetMGM ourselves directly, and we've asked them to put a few bets on the table this year.
Bespoke style,
and they're season-long bets, so you got to do it this week. You got to do it today.
Yeah, train's leaving the station to make some money.
You can bet on Yuki Tsunoda getting a podium in 2024. You can bet on Daniel Ricciardo getting a podium in 2024. The V-carb, do you believe?
Here's the thing. We all know the season is going to be boring. This is a way to make it fucking interesting.
This is a way to make it fucking interesting. You can vote on Lando Norris getting his first victory of all.
I will be pounding.
You can be hammering Lando Norris not getting a victory in his first victory in 2024.
I can fade that shit.
You can bet on Mercedes getting a victory in 2024. Lewis getting a victory in 2024. George Russell getting a victory in 2024. All the top drivers, you can bet on them winning a race. To 2024. You can also bet on if Max Verstappen's going to win every single race in 2024.
I might be hammering that bet.
Because, honestly, listen, we've Yeah, the board season is probably going to be a fucking snoozer.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got to keep our love for the sport involved. And that's how we're going to make it interesting this year. We've asked BetMGM to put these bets in to make it interesting.
Donna,
for
don't
us.
Make us look like idiots. Sign up.
Yeah, sign
using
up.
RED150, code RED150.
That's right.
Otherwise, we're going to look like real morons.
Yeah, well, you use the code RED150, you deposit $5 and place your first wager on any game or race, you will receive $150 in bonus bets, regardless of the outcome of your wager. Just make sure you use the bonus code
RED150
when you sign up. So you have $150 of not your money
to wager.
To wager on Yuki Tsunoda.
Yeah.
On what were you gonna say?
On Lando Norris not winning.
if that's your prerogative, that's your prerogative. Yeah. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 21 and over. Please gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-BETS-OFF for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. See BetMGM.com for terms and U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM, use the bonus code RED150 and get $150 in bonus bets when placing a $5 wager today on Yuki Tsunoda getting a podium and Lando Norris getting his first win in 2024!
Who said he can't read? Let's go!
Now back to the show.
Yes, fall from grace.
Fall from grace. I mean, the episode does start
with Christian Horner.
With Christian Horner.
With Santa.
With hiring the most British.
British Santa sucks. He's supposed to be jolly old St. Nick. And he's like, hello, kids.
He's like, hello, want a cup of tea?
Yeah.
Can I get a cup of tea?
The most Rizzless Santa.
Yeah.
Is this how you guys, this is why you guys hate Formula One now that it's fucking lit. Because your Santas are fucking just popped a fucking Ambien before you guys sit on his lap. He's fucking all got 9 barbiturates in his fucking system.
Yeah.
You guys got no energy.
Santa's complaining about the class system. Like, you know. They don't.
Yeah.
No, but he's hired this Santa to, like, you know, talk to his kids.
The worst Santa to ever live.
The worst Santa to ever live. It does need to be probably noted that then in the episode, Santa does ask the kids if Christian's been good this year, which is just, given everything that's happening, that is, like, on film was insane.
Insane. Yeah, and another reason why Drive to Survive is amazing.
It's perfect, and that they kept it in.
Well, I think the train had already left the station probably at that point.
For sure. They have this little banter about, like, I think Max Verstappen is faster than you, Father Christmas. And then he goes, and then Santa gets, like, annoyed. He's like, well, I go 3 times the speed of light.
Max goes four.
Crazy. You see him with the horses.
Max would be like, fucking Rudolph fucking sucks. Shocking. Rudolph is shocking.
A shocking result.
From Rudolph.
Yeah. I mean, there's, so, you know, and then the episode, you're framing. It's like, right? It's Danny Rick.
Well, they had that brilliant, like, let's talk about the horses in your stable.
Uh-huh, right.
And then, that was a great metaphor for all his drivers, and he's got so many thoroughbreds.
Right, in the stable.
And then it goes to Daniel.
And it's...
And I think he wanted Daniel from the beginning, because we know.
Yes.
Because Helmut told us, Helmut threw his hands up, he's like, yeah, Christian did not want Nick DeVries on the team.
No, Christian wanted him, and Helmut didn't.
ESPN, Red Bull boss admits Horner right to doubt DeVries.
Wow. Oh, so
that was a thing they disagreed on.
Interesting. So Marco wanted him.
After Monza, Marco was like,
let's get him.
Let's get him. And Christian was like, what? Are we just going to invalidate, like, the fact that he's 98 years old?
And the guy who's been sitting on Toto's lap and Toto doesn't want to do anything with him. We're going to, what? We want,
like,
that
guy? It's like an impulse buy. We're buying a USA Today based on some tawdry headline.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It was an impulse buy.
I see. Yeah, so, yeah.
And Helmut admitted that. Helmut was like, that was all me.
Yeah, Christian wanted Danny. That's pretty clear. Danny, they do showcase kind of, like, Danny in his role as really just, like, a marketing arm of Red Bull.
Dancing Monkey.
Yeah, and you
Danny
know,
was like, how old are you, Perez? Like, how much more fuel left you got in the tank? We're like, ah, shit, we're the same age. Gotcha. And then we first meet Nick DeVries.
Yes.
Ugh. I mean, I watched this guy in the Formula 2 Chasing the Dream, and I was like, I think this guy kind of sucks.
Yes.
And then, I mean, my feelings about him deepened because it's just such a sad story.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it was a tough hang.
He's a brutal hang.
I mean, nightmare blunt rotation. Him, James Vowles. And Bruno Famine.
Yes.
Are just the nightmare, the nightmare of all nightmare blunt rotations.
Yes. 100%. Yeah, no, we meet him.
He gets into the backseat and he's
getting to the backseat. He's late to, they're shooting Skeet.
Another Succession move.
On Christian's estate.
Yes.
He's late. He gets into the car and he's like, let's get a move on. I'm like a bit late. And he's in the car watching YouTube tutorials.
I love that.
About how to shoot
that
ski.
I liked.
I didn't like that.
Oh, really? Because that's such a you thing, Brian. I'm going to show up and just start popping off rounds.
Here's the thing. I'm like, don't be on camera doing that. Don't show. That's for you to do. But
yeah, you couldn't have done that the night before.
Right. You're going to be on camera. You're going to be in the car, like, being like, fuck, okay, okay, pull it, okay, aim it on your shoulder. Like, it was just, I don't know, I didn't like it.
Okay.
I felt for a guy who's, like, Mr. Prepared, Mr. Whatever, the fact that he was, like, late and then, like, playing catch up in the car, I was like, are you, like, in line with yourself, my king?
Right, there's some dissonance there.
Yeah.
How are you late to the big, you're slow. Your whole thing is that you're on time.
Right.
And that you're Mr. Prepared.
Right.
And Mr. Experienced.
He's like Mr. Like military. Like if you
dot your I's, cross your T's.
Yes. And if Yuki's the like kind of rogue, like I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. You're Mr. Like
And then he's putting it on the driver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, you're fucking late, dude. This is not the.
Yeah.
And then he's asking the driver how much time to the destination. He was like,
right.
So how much time till we're there?
Yeah,
and it's like, shut the fuck up, dude.
Yeah.
You were late.
Right. So he gets there. I did want to note that, like, they're there. They're all shooting Skeet.
I wrote, who do I have to fuck to get to this charity shoot where they probably hunt real human beings? look like one of those.
Yeah. It looked like The Purge a bit, but but
Danny's just chilling.
No,
I love that was the perfect. He's like, he's not touching a gun. He goes, I taught them all that they knew. Or no. Which one is it? And then Nick is, he's doing the perfect small talk, and Nick is like, you know, I'm more of a man of peace. Yeah. Like, he's like, trust. Danny's just chilling, like, making effortless small talk.
Also, like, but when they're shooting, Danny's like, he's like, he's so, like, jumpy. He's like, oh, this is scary to me. You know, he's unafraid to be, like, you know, that way. Whereas Nick is like, no, like, I suck at this. Just kidding. So then it cuts to DeVries is like, you know, he's on camera. I'm Nick DeVries. I am, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Here I am.
More complete and experienced and mature. And I was like, how dare you talk about Japanese baby Jesus this way?
Yeah, saying that he's more complete than Yuki, I just wrote, fuck off.
Well, you're less complete in the sense that you haven't been in Formula One yet.
Right, he's younger than you and been in Formula One for three years at this point. So what are we really talking about here? He also says, like, he says it to the camera, and he goes, I believe I'll reach the pinnacle of our sport. And the way he said it was just like, even when he said it, he didn't believe it.
You think he felt like an imposter?
I think that there is like a disconnect between like how he thinks he should be. Like, this is how professionals act. This is what professionals say. And then like what he really like with his chest believes. Because it was one of these,
there's frauds out there. It's like, you know, you wear the suit, you wear the tie. It's like, but is that even what you are or how you feel that you are? It's like you're projecting a thing instead of just being the thing.
No, the reality is he lives in like a shitty one bedroom in Monaco.
That he cleans like fucking Howard Hughes. Show me the blueprints.
The scene of him cleaning the apartment was disturbing.
Tiny ass, like my apartment in Brooklyn,
literally
like with my first girlfriend out of college.
But in
where
Monaco,
I could reach from my bedroom, I could reach from my bed and open the fridge and grab a drink.
Yes, that is the vibe of Nick DeVries' Monaco apartment. Because it's like
then don't live in Monaco, my dude.
It's like, here's the thing. There are certain. It's like sometimes
you gotta check some boxes before you live in Monaco.
Right.
And then his passing is like, the Lambo's not my style. Yeah, well, you can't afford it, my guy. Yeah. They wouldn't have you. It's not my style.
Right, as opposed to just being like straight up, yeah, like I live in this like kind of, you know, like I'm not where I wanna be yet. But it's like, but he has this kind of vibe of like, no, like I'm a killer. Like, let me watch me say the things you're supposed to say.
And he's driving this weird car that's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You know that car? That's a $50,000. I looked that car up that he was driving. That's a $50,000 electric car. That it's like the car equivalent of a beach cruiser, and it doesn't go over like 25 miles an hour. It's just like a waste of money.
Interesting.
He might have a sponsorship,
right.
In which case, that is sick,
right? Sure.
But I was just like. It's like, Lambo, not my style.
Yeah, I gotta give...
He's playing bocce or whatever the fuck he's playing.
Right, yeah, he's playing with his friend. Yeah,
and they're just
playing.
Like, blop.
And he honestly is sucking at it. He's playing... we're piling on Nick DeVries here, but like, when you come in so hot and like, I'm more complete than Yuki, I do gotta give Yuki some credit. Yuki was just like, I'll beat him.
No, but he was nice about him. He's like, he's got a very good resume, blah, 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 but yeah, I'll beat him.
Yeah, and he did. And beat him, he did. Yeah, things are not going well for DeVries. He's not driving the car well. It's not really happening.
And all the exes weigh in Albon, Gasly.
Yes.
I'm like, yeah, it's tough out there, you know.
All the exes coming out of the woodworks being like, yeah, you know what, it's gonna be tough for Nick.
My favorite part of the whole episode is when literally it was DeVries and Checo talking, and Adrian Newey is just sitting on the boat.
Oh.
Complete main character. The main character is just sitting there, not talking, just like not wanting to be anywhere near these two albatrosses. and Nick DeVries is trying to be like, right, and he's like,
Mm-hmm. And I gotta say, at this time, Checo was like, dude, it wasn't going that bad for Checo this point. It went bad for Checo. Like, Monaco was like kind of the start of it going down.
Yeah.
But DeVries kind of being like,
nobody kind of wanted to touch him.
Appealing to like Newey being like, yeah, I just gotta focus, you know, like, right, you know, Newey. It's the meme of like the guy talking to the girl, like shouting in her ear at the rave. Like, I'm actually like, I started a crypto company, blah, blah, blah. And the girl's just like, will you please shut the fuck up. That was DeVries like talking about his strategy about like how what it takes to be like a competitor to Adrian Newey on the yacht going to the fucking Monaco
and the
track.
Thing is like, now I'm wondering if Drive to Survive has reached their saturation point, like how many new fans are they? It's like, when are we gonna get him,
right?
When are we gonna just follow him around?
Please,
for a day,
let that be because, in the next season.
Because, you know, the Max thing, they got to be careful around Max.
Yeah.
But it's like, follow him the fuck around. I want to see him with his fucking notebook.
That's what this season did so well, was that it's like, you know, what makes this world fascinating is the stuff that's going on behind the scenes. And it obviously, when there's things that are happening on track that are great, it's that makes it that much better. But like, it's the whole world of the thing. So yeah, go into the different nooks and crannies of this world. And Adrian Newey is something they gotta follow if he'll have them. But so DeVries
montage of him just sucking,
and then it's like,
can't figure out the tire switch, and they're like, don't worry about the tire switch, dude.
Yeah.
You got so... Just drive the car.
Yeah. Which tires are these? Just shut up. Shut the fuck up. And then it's Danny Rick.
Test. They were there for the test.
They were there for the test.
What more do you guys want?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
What more do you guys... Are you not entertained? They were there for the tire test.
You saw Danny, like, getting ready to fuck you at Silverstone to get his job back. Is that not enough for you?
Yeah. Oh my God!
And Danny's got.
And they were there for. I mean, I'm leaking here. I mean, this is behind the paywall, but the carding between Esteban and Gasly. Are you not fucking entertained? Are you entertained?
That was some of the greatest things that's ever been caught on film.
I mean, this is the best show of all time.
It's so good.
We didn't even know that happened.
No.
And nobody talked
no
about
one knew
that happened.
No one knew that happened, and then we get to see it on fucking TV later.
I'm like, holy shit! Anyway, behind the paywall, you owe us $5 if you even
want to hear us really get into that, you fucking scumbags.
Freeloading.
No, Danny's, because Danny, it's interesting to hear him say, like, because there's a clip or a sound, at least a sound bite of someone, I think maybe Christian or someone, saying to Danny, like, you know, NASCAR is like dying to have you.
Yeah.
And that like these other racing series are dying to have Danny. And he's just like, yeah, but
it's like, I do features. I don't do TV.
That was yeah, that is
I'm
the
a
vibe.
Movie star. I don't and go into television.
Exactly. And he's like, I'll do a limited series for HBO, maybe. But he's like, no, I'm not done yet.
Yeah.
And at the time, there is a vibe like him keep staying that. It's just like, hey, like, are you like, why? What are you holding on to, buddy? But now look at him.
Looking like a genius.
I mean, he might get a podium this year. We'll see.
Today's episode is brought to you by Yahoo Finance. Look, you've saved, you've researched, you've invested all that you can. Now you need to take a look at the investments and how to take those to the next level with Yahoo Finance. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're an experienced investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and the data you need in one place. The number one finance destination to give a holistic look at the financial news. Listen, in terms of wealth, I'm not Lawrence Stroll or Toto Wolff yet, but with Yahoo Finance, it's helping me get there. I can see how the markets are doing and find out more about certain stocks and get the latest financial news. Yahoo Finance is where I learned after Ferrari announced Lewis for 2025, the stock price went up more than 12%. Increasing their market cap by $10 billion. I'm basically a stock trader. That's how Yahoo Finance makes me feel. For a comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. That's yahoofinance.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Yeah, even if he doesn't get called up.
Totally. Yeah, so, and Danny, and then they look at it and they're like, so... He would have been right next to Max if he had done this time last week. Christian loves Danny.
Yeah, we're
he does. But then they have that meeting with Peter Bayer, right?
His Blake.
Blake.
And is that Nick? Was that Nick?
Maybe.
Was that Nick? I couldn't see.
I couldn't tell, but it was like, kind of like Danny's team or yeah. whatever. And they like, and they go around. They're just like, so are we doing this? And it was like, you get to see them. And now here's the thing. Maybe they had the conversation. Maybe this was a rehash of a conversation, yeah. right? For the cameras, whatever. But the fact that like you see them being like, so yeah, we're doing this, right?
Yeah.
So, everyone, we're agreed?
And I love when Christian goes, so Peter, what do you think about this? Peter's like...
Yeah.
Peter, what do you think about this? I think it's great. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, yeah, a little puppet. Yeah.
I agree, Christian.
Yeah. And
I think having Daniel Ricciardo on our junior team would be a great idea.
Yeah, I think that could
help with the marketing aspect of this junior team.
Yeah. And then, yeah, the news comes out. And at the end, DeVries is just
and
like,
then
yeah.
that ruined my day in England. We were literally about to go to the National Portrait Museum.
Yes, right.
I was like, my girlfriend was like, okay, like enough work, right? It's just mm-hmm. going to be an us day. And we were at a dim sum restaurant in like,
yeah.
Chinatown in England, and I was just like, I gotta go. They're like, what do you mean? I was like, Danny Rick is back.
Yeah,
gotta go. I have to go.
We have to go. And
then I did straight to Cam in a Chinese restaurant.
Right. Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think that did pretty well too.
Yeah. Yeah.
With you know
no, that I mean it was huge news. That was fucking epic.
Pre Lewis to Ferrari, that was like that.
Oh,
was,
huge. That was huge.
Yeah.
Might happen this year with Checo. We'll see.
Yeah.
You know, those switches mid-year are fucking fascinating. And it was a great, great fucking episode.
Yeah.
What would you title episode 2?
Nightmare Blunt Rotation Part 1.
Nightmare Blunt Rotation Part 1. Perfect. Okay. All right. Episode 3. Now, this is the McLaren.
Under pressure. De- 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 de.
Yes.
Or you could call it, would you just give it a minute?
Yeah. Just give me a second. it's the McLaren app. It's Zach Brown.
That guy with the insane accent. The guy who's above Zach Brown.
Yes, yes.
Just like, the Sith Lord above Zach Brown.
Kind of the like, chairman of the board vibe.
He's just like... You've got to do better.
Yeah.
It's a lot of, I'm applying, subtext, lots of pressure.
Yeah. Yeah, we see the car launch. We see
Oscar can't get into our first meeting.
Yes, this is
of
perfect.
Oscar.
Yes,
this is how we meet Oscar for the first time. Is he can't get into the MTC and he's like waving Open Sesame.
Yeah,
and he's just like, and he's just kind of like,
yeah.
And they're like, can you use the side door? And he's like,
yeah.
And he's late. And Lando's like, I'm here.
Yeah, I'm on time.
Because I'm an adult.
Because I'm Big Brother now, Oscar.
he's like sipping a coffee. It's like, what? Who gave this child a coffee? It's like, you're still a child.
Yeah, the
Oscar looks older than him.
Right.
The hairline's slightly going. Yeah. I'm like, you know, you look older than Lando. You can grow that beard out all you want, Lando. You still look like a like an infant.
Yeah. He, Oscar did tweet with the clip of him not being able to get in the door.
Yeah.
He tweeted, I know how the jetpack guy feels now. Because of the famous clip of the guy falling on his ass and Oscar being like, now, you know, Oscar just so effortlessly kind of crushing.
Yeah.
And Lando is kind of like peacocking. He's full peacock. He really is. I mean, he went to the Danny Rick school. He and Danny are close.
Yeah.
Like, he visited him this offseason. Like, he went to Perth, hung out with Danny in Perth.
Yeah.
Like, in, like, kind of an impromptu trip. Was like, Danny, I'm coming to... Can I come to Perth this weekend? And he was like, yeah, come through.
Perth's kind of out of the way.
Totally. It's completely out of the way. But, you know, he's trying to Big Brother Oscar. Fully trying to Big Brother Oscar. I thought it was also interesting. This was an interesting key into this world. Is that, like, they have call times for like these events. It's like you have a call time and then they have their race suits in like garment.
They're like actors.
They're like actors.
Yes.
That's what it's like to like arrive at a film set. You get there like 2 hours before the things.
And Lewis was pissed that he had an earlier call time than George.
Yes. Yeah.
And you owe us money now because that's later.
Yeah. But yeah, like the fact that like their racing suits are in those garment bags that like if I'm doing a movie or something or doing a TV show, like when costumes brings my costume to my little fucking trailer, it's always in those little garment
but
bags.
It's and got it says your like character name.
Exactly.
You
have it says Piastri. Yeah. It says like, you know, Norris on it. Interesting.
Number one driver, number two driver.
Exactly.
Zach, and then Lando's like, Oscar's quite tall. He doesn't look tall, but he is tall.
Yeah.
This whole thing, and I looked it up, I'm like, Oscar's 5'10.
Yeah.
Like, Oscar's not some fucking tree.
Right.
But he does give, because he's so thick.
Yeah.
So thick around.
He's got that juicy ass.
Little in the middle, but got too much back.
Yeah, he got that juicy ass.
And then during the launch, Zach goes, car looks bitching.
That was brutal.
I love Zach.
That was brutal.
Sometimes Zach gives, you know, Pierre gives middle school. Zach gives like elementary school sometimes. When he's like, yeah, high five, everybody.
Sure.
He has that elementary school glee to him.
Yeah, sure.
That, like, 9-year-old boy glee.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what he gives.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, how he wants to high five you is kind of
he's
like...
He's like that guy. I think he was a... Was he a demo? Was he like a demo? The Biaw guy.
Yeah, he gives
that energy.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to go to Iowa. We're going to go to South Dakota. And then we're going to go all the way to Pennsylvania. Biaw!
And it was a lot of when they were talking, you know, this was, you know, Drive to Survive did really well this season is they did a couple of these where they're like with the PR people. And they're like, so this is what the fuck you're going to say.
Right.
They did that with Lewis and George. And they did this with, like, so we're going to like avoid all contract talk. Like,
yep.
No talking about exit clauses.
Yep.
We're just focused on the car. And then Lando's body language was just like, he was so pouty and just like, but I do have exit clauses.
Why wouldn't I talk about my exit clauses when I have them?
Yeah.
No, that's another fascinating part of this thing is that you see those conversations that, like, you know, the press that this is why you get these like stoic kind of like nothing answers from people, and that when you do get a kind of more out there answer, it's like they're going, someone's pissed because they were not supposed to do that.
And I will give this to Lando. I'm going to give the two realest people on this show.
Mm-hmm.
There's two people that are so fucking real on this show. It's unbelievable. Lando's in second. I'll give Lando second prize.
Yeah.
The realest motherfucker on the show is Liam Lawson. We'll get to him later. He was so fucking real.
That was amazing.
I I mean, that,
I'm in love with him.
I love him.
Liam Lawson.
He's the anti DeVries. He's the anti DeVries. Well, the thing is, here's the other thing. He's like, I don't have enough time to fucking pretend here.
Yeah, right.
He's like, I'm gonna just leave it all out here. It should have been me, bitch.
This is bullshit.
This is fucking bullshit.
But Lando
just can't pretend. Yeah. They're in the golf course. And he's just so fucking emo.
Yeah.
He's on the emo. They're this beautiful, gorgeous day, and he's like, hey, we're gonna have a great year. And Lando's like, we're so slow on the street.
Yeah, he's like, this golf cart's faster than our car.
And then Zach just is like, you know how long we've been doing this, man? Like,
yeah.
12 years?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be so much sweeter when we finally get there. And I'm like, wow. It was such a good moment.
Well, really appealing to, and I didn't really.
Appealing to how much time, he's pulling on the heart. Toto did it pretty good. These guys are good at what they do.
Yeah, they pull on the heartstrings.
He's like, I'm leaking here for later, but when Toto was like, you're not just a driver, you're a leader.
He's like, dude,
you're also responsible for this. This is your project too.
You can't
just cut and run.
Right.
You're a leader too.
Yeah.
I'm not the leader. We're leading this thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Dan just had a kid, man, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, you're really going to leave us now?
Yeah.
But no, I think I didn't realize how much time Zach and Lando had together. I didn't realize how involved Zach was in Lando's career.
First race car I drove was mine.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like, you know.
Yeah, he met him when he was
a father to him.
Yeah, he's like, I met him when he was 14.
Yeah.
And he's been like a benefactor for him all that time. I didn't really realize that. And it's interesting because when you talk, because there is this discussion about
you could just go to Mercedes and it'll be easy, or you can like build something here and think with daddy.
And I think that there's something interesting about that, because there is this question around like, why has Lando stayed? Why hasn't Lando jumped ship?
It's gotta be Zach.
And I think it is the relationship that he has with Zach. And I think that as much as there's the talk around him like not wanting to compete with Max, and that he's like a little bit intimidated by that, which is like honestly
but
fair.
Also, where would he go?
Where would he? Well,
Mercedes. Now that this Mercedes, but he didn't know that when he signed.
Right.
Also, this is really interesting, and Spanner said this.
Yeah.
It was like, this might have been a trick this last year.
Okay.
Because they're going to suck. They're maybe not going to be so good this year. And because he might have mortgaged too much to be good at the second half of this year. So he could lock down Lando. Like, Lando might fucking... we'll see.
Yeah,
Lando
I'm curious.
Might fuck... Because he could have done what Merc did.
Mm-hmm.
Zach could have just suffered.
And be like,
you know what? Fuck it.
Right.
I'm going to put all my eggs in the 2024 basket. But it was too important to him... For the sponsors that were breathing down his neck.
Yep.
And that was what Spanners was saying, was like, you know, you see all the pressure he's under.
Right.
And it's like, wait a minute. You know, Merc is kind of giving up on this year.
Uh-huh.
Red Bull's kind of, you know, all these.
Zach was sweating.
And he was like, wait a minute. I need to win the second half of this year now.
Yeah.
And how much of a penalty is he going to pay?
Is that how that works, though? Like that, is it opposing forces? Well, what do you mean?
It's how many guys are you putting on this car versus next year's car?
I see.
You can allocate more for next year's car or more for this year's car. So we'll see because
I guess my thought is that like if you can see the car, if you can make that adjustment and then you can actually get like time on track,
Komatsu said this exact thing too. It was like, we spent too much time on last year's car. We should have spent more time on this year's car.
I see.
Like there is in a budget cap era, there is a zero sum game.
I see.
And like that's why Red Bull like they were up by so much, they're like, great, we don't even have to think about this car because there is a finite number of resources that you could spend. And maybe McLaren's did such a big jump at the expense of the resources they could have spent on next year's
car. Yeah, that's an interesting point. That's something to watch for this year to see if that is the case.
And that's why Lando was like, was I just sold a fucking bill of goods?
Right.
Was this like a false dawn?
Right.
We'll find out.
The vibe of this episode is like, will Lando leave? Lando's like, you know, they're kind of like, and he's like, he's looking around like, am I leaving? And everyone, I'm just like, why is everyone, I'm like, everyone stop kicking my close personal friend Zach Brown. Everyone's being so mean to Zach in this episode.
Well, because you know what's coming. You're like, give it a fucking minute.
Yeah, just give me a second, guys. That meeting that he had with like the three like big, like the OKX sponsor and the other big sponsors, yeah. when they're just like at that table and they're just like, so like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Like, this fucking, the car sucks. What the fuck is up?
Yeah.
And Zach, like, who is usually Mr. like cool under pressure. Yeah. You're like, he really is.
He's like, I hear you.
He's like, oh, he's stuttering. He is sweating.
Yeah.
And
then Andrea Stella's like, you know, it's going to be tough. And Zach's just like, get it, please. God. And why you see that he's good at his job is he's not like transferring any of that tension to right. them.
Yes.
And Andrea Stella's like, man, it's going to be tough getting these upgrades. And Zach's like, okay.
Yeah.
You have no idea the fucking hell that I'm in.
Right.
Above me.
Yeah.
He's just getting shit. And he's only projecting like positivity mm-hmm, to the mm-hmm. people below him. No, he's like, Lando's like, right. we're great. We're doing great. Everything's going to be fine. As like, there's just like a yes. mountain on top of him.
It's so
that's
true.
Like a sign of a good leader.
Right. Because it's that thing when it's like, when your boss is stressed about like, when your boss is stressed, it's because you know that like they're stressed about someone above them. There's yeah. it's always it trickles down, and then sometimes there's someone who like it's trickling down, but they're like, no, nothing's getting underneath me. Like this is a solid. This isn't a mesh thing where the water is going to seep through. This is a solid fucking plank of metal.
When I did my movie with Rob,
yeah.
I didn't know Rob Reiner.
Yeah.
Not to name, but that's the only movie I've done, and that's who directed. But he was yeah. saying like. We were working on the movie. I flew out.
Yeah.
We had gotten financing for the movie. I'd flown out. We'd been working on the movie. At yeah. one point, he got upset with me.
Yeah.
Because I was like nitpicking about some yeah. little point. He was like, just listen. Just listen to me. And I was like, he's a little touchy, but like he had mostly been great.
Yeah.
And then at some point, like we were halfway through the movie, and then he was like, oh, yeah. I was like, where were the other guys that we met that were financing the movie? He's like, oh, financing fell through.
Yeah.
And then this guy picked it up. And I was like, so when I flew out and like we were working on the movie, like there was no money. He was yeah. like, oh, there was none.
Yeah.
Like the movie was dead.
Yeah. yeah.
And I was just pretending
yeah.
like it was fine
right.
while I was trying to put other stuff together.
Yeah.
And he was just, and that's why I could, like he lost it. Like he kind of got impatient because he was like, there is yeah. no movie yeah. right now. But he wasn't like letting us know that.
Right.
He wasn't
right,
letting us
right.
know how bad it got.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
He was just kind of proceeding like everything was fine.
Yes. Totally.
And that's a sign of like a pretty good leader.
Totally.
Where you're just, it's like kind of need to know.
Yeah, this was an endearing episode for Zach because
yeah.
you did see him stressed as fuck and then like not trying to like key his drivers into it too much and like not trying to like, you know, ruin that.
and then finally.
Wait.
Silverstone.
But should we talk about George and Lando on the PJ? That was in this episode too.
Yeah.
George, Russell, and Lando are on the private jet.
Yeah.
I think maybe they're flying to Silverstone.
Yeah.
And they're just like...
And Lando's so moody.
Lando's just like in a bad fucking mood.
He's got that cute little pillow next to him.
He's yeah, like, he's just like...
My life sucks. I'm in the most comfortable looking...
My life sucks in this private jet. And then... But
and George's like, yeah, your car looks like shit.
Yeah.
And I'm in a Mercedes.
I don't know if you... And my boss is Toto Wolff. But they had that conversation around drinking.
Oh, I totally forgot about this.
Yeah.
And George was like, it was in my contract that I couldn't drink.
Right.
On the
At Williams.
And he was like, but I know other people do.
Yeah.
And then it was like, not me.
Yeah.
I would. And then the way he said it was like very incriminating.
Right.
Leno goes, I would never.
Yeah.
Not me.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, you're just like kind of telling on yourself a little bit, I feel.
Yeah.
And then George was like, I could name names. I could fuck shit up. I'm like, yeah, you're in the paddock. You're one of the 20 drivers. Of course you know things.
Also, like, what is this? George being a narc is fitting. You know, like when the principal, when you're like, how did this, you know, when
he is still dream blunt rotation for me.
Of course.
He would have like a fun panic attack. room spinning. Is this spinning for anybody? Is anybody else?
Watching George have a stoned panic attack would be incredible.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, George is kind of like the boy, like, you know, in Harry Potter,
when he's a prefect vibes.
When they're doing like Dumbledore's army or whatever.
He'd
the fuck.
Be a corrupt prefect.
Yes.
So he gives head boy vibes, but like the one that will take bribes and kind of abuse his power.
He's not
squeaky clean.
Right.
That's what I like.
We've seen him party with Alonzo. Like, you know.
Yeah.
He's
got an evil streak to him.
That was just such an interesting thing to be like, I'm on Netflix. I'm like, the cameras are here. And I'm like, I could name names.
Because he wants to give them what they want.
It is also just like, is that like really damning information that someone drinks on a race weekend?
Also know who it is. It's Max Verstappen. And guess what? Doesn't matter.
Yeah, he won in Qatar hungover. What are we really talking about here? Anyway, so Lando, the episode's
gets the Silverstone. Zach can barely get out of the McLaren.
Yes.
Do we see Zach? Like, the Netflix cameras were like, get that. And Zach owned it. He's like, it's not the easiest to get out of.
He's such a fucking legend. And then, Lando gets second in Silverstone.
Yeah. And then it's like, does Zach at this point, like, just grab people by the head and, like, shove the head in their crotch? Like, why are you like, no?
Yeah, no. What Zach does is that scene in Click, where he pauses the thing and he like farts in like David Hasselhoff's face and like smacks him in the face a bunch of times and like plays and he's like, oh, my head is killing me. And also, what's that smell? That's what Zach Brown did to all the fucking haters. But then the quote that he said when that happened, because he's running to the podium.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not going to run him.
He literally says, gotta go see my boy Lando. As he's running to the podium, he says, gotta see my boy Lando.
Yes.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
I loved when he goes, Hamilton will be closer to restart. And Lando's like, yeah, I know. and then when Hamilton's another terrifying person, he's like, that's the other shark in the Jaws movie.
That's who you don't want behind you.
And there was a great moment where, because that's another thing that they keep doing, they're always like checking the gap.
Uh-huh.
The gap 2.1, gap 1.9, yes. Gap 1.0. You're like, oh, fuck it.
Yeah.
And then at one point, Lando goes, gap! His voice cracked. He was like, gap! He's so panicked because that shark is...
Well, it's happened every other time. Yeah. It's always happened that way.
And then, and then he gets there and, it was fucking...
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
If you had to give a title for this episode.
Zaddy. Zaddy.
Yeah, I'd say it's stop kicking my boy Zach Brown. Stop kicking him. Let him cook.
Yeah.
Let him cook. Yeah.
And Lando's so emo. He's so moody.
Yeah. I love it.
No, I mean it makes for great TV.
It's the opposite of DeVries. You know, it's like what we said about DeVries, which is that he's just like
I was so stiff.
He's everything's like DeVries is like everything is fine. Lots of tests, lots of papers. Like everything's fine. Everything's good. I'm a killer. Blah blah blah. Lando maybe is the more where he's just like everything sucks actually, and it's like it's actually okay. But at least you're feeling the highs and lows,
and you're observing a real person.
Totally.
Well. He was the second best person to watch in this whole series.
Yeah.
In terms of realness, you're like, I'm just observing somebody who's existing and doesn't care about the fucking cameras here.
Yeah. Well, he understands also because he's like that, because he's from the Gen Z, it's like authentic. It's like, authenticity is kind of king.
Mm.
You got to feel like it's the pomp and circumstance and the fucking like facade that you create is actually kind of bold. People see through
that shit. He wasn't raised by boomers who are like, you always gotta be poised.
Stiff upper lip and shake them and shake their hands and look them in the eye.
Exactly. It's like, that was our parents.
Yeah. He didn't subscribe to that shit.
Yeah. Whereas, Daniel Ricciardo was raised by boomers who probably told him to always be poised and composed. And
exactly.
You sing. I was always told to sing for my supper.
Right.
Like when you're somewhere, you're somebody's guest.
Yes.
To be entertaining.
That's interesting because that I think is a common commonality between the younger drivers. I mean, young people maybe in general, but the younger drivers. Like, I think Oscar has a bit of that too. He shows it differently. But Oscar's not like, like in that interview, there was that interview, right? Where
well, you can be entertaining and be, I think that's authentically who Daniel is though.
I think it is too, but I think it's part of how you become authentically yourself is like how you're raised. Like,
right.
You know, what you're taught at an early age informs how you like behave in certain circumstances and certain environments, like that you're able to compartmentalize.
What I love, I mean, Daniel is such a psycho in terms of how polite he is when he's like, I'd be happy with radio silence.
Yeah.
Like every other driver's like, shut the fuck up.
Shut
leave
up.
Leave me alone. But Daniel just goes, I would be happy with radio silence.
Right, right.
It was just crazy how polite he is.
Yeah.
He's the other extreme.
Right.
But it feels like he's just like that all the time.
Right.
Like it's just
no, we've seen him in these environments and like, you know, like
we've observed him. He really is happy to do that shit. I don't think he gets home and is just like an Ellen DeGeneres
right.
vibe. Whereas he's a nightmare.
And of course, like sometimes it's more difficult than others and there can be things going on in his personal life, but like he doesn't transfer the tension. He doesn't let it bleed through.
Yeah.
Which would actually make him kind of like maybe like a good lead. And in that same like Zach Brown kind of way almost. There's something interesting between them. Like that Zach does, you know, he can be stressed over here, but he's not going to show it over here. Whereas like if Lando was stressed about something, like you would know exactly
you and I have thought about this where it's like,
yeah.
Okay, can you be a little less authentic?
Right, yeah.
Do you have to be a fucking thundercloud
all
the time? Isn't that killing?
Yeah.
I mean, it makes for great television.
Yeah.
But in terms of like, if he wants to be a team leader,
yes.
Do you know what I mean? Are people going to rally around a guy and be like, this car fucking sucks?
Right, right.
Do you know what I mean?
No, it's true.
So that's the thing about these Gen Z kings. Like, are you going to want to go to war with a guy who's like, meh.
Right, who's kind of like swayed with the breeze. That's someone who's moody.
By the way, that could have been Alonzo's problem too. Mm-hmm. It's not just a generational thing. It's a moodiness thing.
Yeah.
It's a moodiness thing. So not to like just single out one generation. I think Alonzo suffered from that problem. When things are good, he's you can't have a better leader.
Yeah. He's got a $1 million smile on his face.
But when things are bad, he's just so fucking upset and angry. And he's so authentically himself. He's so angry. It doesn't inspire
confidence.
Yeah. And you don't want to go to war with this guy.
And it does affect the environment. It affects everyone around you when you're just like in your feelings and in your stuff.
Yeah.
That like everyone then now has to be like, oh, like this person's, you know, oh, like Lando's upset or Alonso's upset. So like now we all have to like cater to that.
And it just infects everybody.
Yeah. As opposed to someone who's like, you know, they're upset, but then they're like,
Daniel is just like, let's go.
Yeah.
And you're just like, okay, maybe. And Zach Brown is like, let's go.
Right.
And I think even Oscar, it's like, you don't ever get the highs, but you never get the lows either.
Yeah,
so it's just, he's just going to keep.
Yeah.
It's consistent. I think like, who are a good example? I mean,
Yuki's kind of in that vibe of like the bit of the highs and the lows.
Right.
That's like, you know, Yuki can be that way. I think Lance can be that way. You know, there's a bit, but it's interesting. There's that fine balance, right? Because it's like the stiff upper lip can also be like off-putting in a way. Or the only positive and not being able to look at the negative can sometimes like also not inspire confidence. Because if you're like, yeah, the car is shit. You need to be able to say that. Like, whereas DeVries is kind of like, everything is awesome, everything's good. Like, that's also kind of like, you're watching someone not in touch with reality as well.
I'm trying to think. I think Lewis can be a little moody.
Lewis can definitely be moody, but I think he'll let you know that he's frustrated, but he will like kind of, he'll let you know and then like put it over here and get to work.
I mean, he looked very moody in that photo shoot.
But that's different.
I don't want to be here. This is fucking media thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
For a thing that we never even fucking saw.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We only saw it through Drive to Survive.
But
I thought, just getting back to this episode, what I thought was an interesting thing, and I think it was Danica Patrick who said this, was just like, you know, this is people train their entire lives. Like, you see Lando when he's a fucking kid.
Mm-hmm.
And you see him rising through the ranks, and like people, they commit their entire lives to this thing. And then when you feel like you have that opportunity and the team's not there, as much as loyalty's there and he appreciates Zach and everything he's done for him, at the end of the day, like, he's lived his entire life pursuing this goal. And like his relationship with Zach is one thing, but he's held up his end.
And
it was really
interesting. I don't think Lando was a highly touted person. As much. Like, I think he was seen as like a pay driver until like very late.
Yeah.
Because he was so wealthy.
Right.
And I don't think people took him as seriously as someone like Zach did.
Right.
And yeah, I think he surprised a lot of people.
Yeah.
I don't think Lando Norris like entering was as highly touted as like a Leclerc.
No.
Or a Max or a, I think he's one of the surprises.
Yeah, I think he is. I think, like, come the Formula 2, like, once he was in F2, I think that he was, it was like him and George were kind of, like, the people that they were looking out for. But George was a bit more of that.
I think George was more highly talented.
He was. But it was the two of them.
Yeah.
Because, like, Albon talks about that. He was like, everyone was going to that season being like, you guys are the stars. And, like, I came in and was, like, also there.
Yeah.
You know? But, no, I think you're right. I think that Lando's stock rising as high as it has is kind of a bit surprising to people.
Yeah.
So that's this episode.
If you want to hear this amazing analysis for
episodes four through 10, then go over to patreon.com/trfpod and be a part of the fucking resistance.
Yeah.
Okay. You motherfucking Vankas.
Thanks so much.
See you on the Patreon.
Love you. Bye.
Hold on, don't cut out.